And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the sun.
All right, welcome back to Straight from the Source. Michael Russo and Jeremy Rutherford, one of my closest friends, longtime colleague from the Athletic St. Louis, used to be the St. Louis Dispatch. Jeremy, first of all, can you believe that I moved from Florida for this?
This is nuts. You guys, This is nuts. Who there's got to be people out here who enjoy this weather. Anybody enjoy this? Anybody? We got a few hands there.
Yeah, I was talking to a bunch of NHL people in the concierge lounge at the Marriott today, and we were talking about all the deer in the outfield, and I said, you know, half of me expects that somebody's going to just take out a...
Yeah.
And just shoot it right down to there. I think it's real. They look real. You and I were at the ballpark really late last night. Winter Classic is today, and thanks, by the way, to Fulton for having us out here. Good friend of mine, Nicole, actually made this happen. So really cool that she reached out and that we were able to get this done with the Athletic. I just swear to God, I thought I saw Mikko Koivu walk in, but
there's like 20 of them, yeah. I think.
I mentioned shooting somebody, and then I see Koivu. I almost ducked. First of all, thanks for Fulton for making this happen. But you and I were at the ballpark really late last night, and man, it looks just spectacular. If you cold weather aside. And Jeremy and I will be looking at all of you from the safe, warm confines of the press box.
72 degrees.
Yeah. But it absolutely looks awesome. And when the lights go down tonight, it's just going to look absolutely spectacular.
It really does. And I was at the Winter Classic in St. Louis in 2017. I thought they did a terrific job with that. Steve Mayer, the chief content CFO for the NHL, does a great job with this. And we saw him last night, Mike, when we were walking out. Guys, I'm sure you've seen pictures. Maybe some of you have been in the stadium. It looks phenomenal. They've done a great job. And I think it's going to be even better, Mike. We talked about this last night, that it is a nighttime game. I mean, it's going to look great, even if it were the daytime. But last night when they put the sun went down and they put the lights on, it just lit up. It's going to look great.
Yeah. First of all, thanks to Jeremy for reminding all Minnesota fans that St. Louis got a Winter Classic before them.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah. Well deserved. What is it like covering a Winter Classic, Jeremy? What's it like covering a Stanley Cup winner, Jeremy?
You stole my joke. I was going to say Stanley Cup final there.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy is one of our athletic writers that has actually worked longer than most of us on every single year. I remember talking to you during that Stanley Cup run, and it felt like you were never, ever going to get a day off. And then when your team, I wouldn't know this as a longtime beat writer, but when the team you cover actually wins the Stanley Cup, your job doesn't end right with the postmortem. You then have to cover the whole Stanley Cup ceremony, the parade, all the Stanley Cup deliveries to everybody's houses. Training camp happens and Jeremy basically didn't have a day off. So what is that like? Tell every Minnesota fan here what it is like to have a Stanley Cup awarded to the team you cover.
I don't want to do that. We're rubbing it in. You guys are great fans, right? You guys deserve a Stanley Cup. Minnesota, I love coming to Minnesota. Terrific fans. But it is funny that I would tell Mike, hey, I got a scoop. The Blues are going to host the Winter Classic. I'm going to write the story right now. It'll be up at the Athletic. You're getting a Winter Classic. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, and then I call him. I say, hey, Mike, the Blues are getting the All-Star game. He goes, oh, my goodness. And, you know, then the Stanley Cup final. So, no, the Stanley Cup final was a terrific run. I'll never forget this as long as I live, in terms of being a sports writer. The Blues win in Boston, game 7. I'm in Boston. They kick us out of the press box. A lot of Blues fans, we got a few of them here today. They tried to go to the bars in Boston after the Stanley Cup win, and the Boston bar owners shut the door in their face and said, "Nope, we're closing." It was a ghost town that night in Boston after Game 7. But I went back to the hotel, and I wrote the article until about 7 in the morning, never went to sleep, and then did radio the rest of the day and flew back to St. Louis. So as Mike says, it doesn't end, but it's a good thing. Obviously, everybody here in Minnesota would love to have a complete summer full of reading Mike's stories at The Athletic about where guys are taking the Stanley Cup and how it's popping up all over town. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it would absolutely be cool. So Jeremy and I have been up all night just preparing for this podcast, meticulous notes, as you can see. I still can't believe I walked here from the Marriott. So I was, oh, by the way, so next week, I did a bunch of mini podcasts the last couple days with Kenny Albert and Darren Pang and Keith Jones and Jamie Hirsch. And today
look at this name dropper. So, this guy's a name dropper.
Well, that's going to be all. The reason why I'm mentioning it is because that's going to be next week's Straight from the Source. Today's Straight from the Source. So I want everybody to know that. But I go over to the Westin today to go do Mike Rupp's podcast. And I get there and I'm like, ooh, forgot the recorder. So then I had to run back to my hotel, already pissed off that all the skyways are closed. So I had to first pull off my gloves, unthaw my fingertips, and bash the city of Minneapolis for that. Then I went back, got the recorder, and went back to the Westin. And so I was super late here, ran back there, changed, got my stuff, and decided that I was going to walk here. And about halfway here, I was like, what the fuck was I thinking?
So. This guy's crazy. No, he knows everybody in the league. I told Mike years and years ago that I just want to introduce him at the Hall of Fame when he goes into the Hall of Fame wing. It's phenomenal.
Right.
You know, you talk to him. Yeah, let's hear it for Mike for a second, guys. Yeah. It's crazy. Sometimes, he'll say, I'm going to Koivu's house and Garen just called me and, Kaprizov's doing a photo shoot and stuff like that. And I'm like, Mike, I just took my kid to, up to the store to, I took him to his baseball practice. Meanwhile, he's written 40 stories. So he does a lot. You guys are awesome to have them. The one thing I do say about the name dropping, though, is sometimes I'll write down a bunch of famous names on a piece of paper, and when Mike walks, I'll drop them behind him like he's actually
that's
dropping
good.
Them.
By the way, we have a microphone up here, and if you want to ask a question during the podcast, feel free to come on up. Jeremy, as you can tell, we've known each other a long time. In fact, Jeremy and I were probably the fifth and sixth hockey writers at The Athletic, which boggles my mind that we each had the courage to do that. So we went through the recruiting process together. We started the same day, September 5th on 2017, at The Athletic. And it's pretty neat that we did this together. Left awesome jobs at the Strib and the St. Louis Dispatch. In fact, the last time I was in Fulton was the 100-year celebration of the Star Tribune. It was outside. I was sitting with Lavelle E. Neal III and Sid Hartman. This place has expanded incredibly since then. And then a couple days later, I decided, why stay at a paper that's been around 100 years? Let's go to a startup.
Hopefully it worked out. I don't know how many Athletic subscribers we have out here. Anybody? Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. TheAthletic.com/straightfromthesource. Yeah. Thanks for the tee up here.
Seriously, thank you guys so much. Yep. I never get tired of saying thank you to the subscribers and the support that we get. It means a ton. When you sit down and write a story, that passionate hockey fans out there are going to be reading it. It really makes it fun to sit down and write the story.
Yep. First question. Here we go.
Hey, cheers to you guys. Thanks for being awesome.
Thanks,
the Athletic
Mr.
is tremendous. We love it. I just wonder, for each respective team, if you think about the guys that are out right now that each team is going to miss the most, and who are you most excited to see coming in to replace? Thanks.
Well, I mean, Joel Eriksson Ek is obviously, to me, the big one that's out of the Wild lineup tonight, and for probably the foreseeable future. We don't know yet about Jonas Brodin. Basically, the deal with Jonas Brodin is interesting. So he is technically clear of the 5-day protocol, but then he had to get tested this morning, and depending on if he's at all positive, what the levels are of the virus in there, I don't know all the science in there, and I can tell you Billy Guerin and Dean Evason definitely don't, because and even the league people that I've asked is like, I don't freaking know. So I think we're going to just be surprised if Brodin's essentially taken off COVID protocol later. So that, obviously, if Brodin doesn't play, I'd probably throw him up there. But not having Joel Eriksson Ek out there when you have guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko out there, that's going to be just I think a real trouble for the Wild in a span right now where they're just dealing with incredible adversity. How about you guys?
So Erickson X out, you guys, right? Spurgeon's out. And Brodin might be out, right?
Yep, we'll see.
Let me go over a list of the Blues players that are out today. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
That's it. That's it. No, it's been crazy. They've gone through a lot of COVID issues like anybody else. But in the past two games, they got three forwards back a couple games ago, Robert Thomas, David Perron, Jordan Kyrou. And today they're going to get Oscar Sundquist back. And also they could get Ivan Barbashev. Well, they will get Ivan Barbashev back, and they could get Braden Schenn back and Buchnevich. So,
what about James Neal?
James Neal, you know, I think even if he's healthy, he's not in the lineup, so it doesn't matter there.
That's
but
a shame.
Yeah, it's going to be a healthy Blues team today.
Yeah. By the way, I think my battery operated socks are absolutely on fire right now. I might have to unplug them just for a second. Just sorry about this subtle little unplug right now.
Did you just complain about the walk over here and you have batteries in your socks?
I know. It looks like I have an echo, like one of those EKG things right now, but I got to, like, I think, honestly, something might be catching fire down there. So let's do that.
Probably right. Pump Starbucks
unplugged
into your blood
there.
Or something.
Yeah, it could be that, too. Sorry, a little distracted. That was weird. I think what happened was, is that I decided to not only go with the battery operated socks, but put the toe warmers in. And I think that I'm having a reaction down there that could be potentially catastrophic.
How do you guys deal with this guy?
Uh-oh. This is not good.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so
breaking news here at the Athletic.
Yeah, so Kalen Addison was recalled from the taxi squad. So this obviously could mean that Brodin is not playing, as you could. Yep.
You're watching a live tweet here.
Yep, there you go. So, can you throw that on our briefs? We have like 50. By the way, did you do that? This is going to be like one of those inside baseball things. Did you do the lead to our little thing? All right, good.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a live block on The Athletic today that, thank God, has apparently started because I forgot to do the lead and I texted Jeremy during my Mike Rupp catastrophic incident where I didn't have my recorder there and I said, you gotta get do that lead. So there you go. Question.
First I have a comment for you. You know,
uh-oh.
Thanks for the diss on my Halloween decorations. I even got the Halloween still on.
Oh nice, nice.
Oh, wow.
Did I diss you on that?
Yeah. Carp's mom, you dissed my whole house decorations.
Oh.
Come on now.
That is Carp's mom. Carp is super famous, co-host the Rascast.
My question for you guys is, which team do you think has an advantage playing outside? And do you think there's certain players that are going to be have an advantage being outside and playing in the cold versus others? Thanks.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I don't see how anybody could have an advantage in this. This is just nuts. You know, the thing that I'm curious about is, you know, both equipment teams are going to help out the players with the different types of warmers and extra clothing. But, right, you guys know what it's like to play in cold weather. You know, probably after 10 minutes, you're taking some of it off, right, because you get hot and sweaty. And so that's kind of a curiosity to me. I say the guy who's going to have the most luck in this cold weather is because he's from Siberia, Vladimir Tarasenko. If you can play in Siberia, you can play in this stuff.
All right, so the Wild fans will remind you that Kirill Kaprizov is from Siberia as well.
There you go.
Same agent as well. Jeremy and I had the just, you know, incredible experience of dealing with Paul Theofanis in the last couple months. So that was always as fun as well. You know, to get to that point, though, it is going to be really, to me, the goaltending is the most interesting thing here because I was doing this podcast that everybody will hear next week with Darren Pang, and he said the big thing is, like, if the wind gets in your eyes at any point, like, you know, even the starting goalies, he thinks they're going to be fine. You know, that first puck you might take to the glove might sting you pretty good. But he said the problem is, like, if you get that wind coming in your eyes, it could screw you up for a while. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be one of the interesting things. Cam Talbot is experienced in this. He's played in one, but this is his fourth, and he got a shutout. He's one of four NHL goalies that got a shutout, so I've already jinxed him there. we'll see that. But it really is going to be fascinating. A lot of them, they've gotten the full headgear. Some of them have this local cream, this warm cream that's based here in Minnesota, Warm Skin or something like that. I know I keep on getting it wrong. There's a company here called WSI Sports that I guess Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes wear their stuff, and you know, swear by that and all that. So, yeah. You know, it's going to be, for the first time, they're going to allow heaters, yeah. like in the penalty boxes between the benches. That's stuff they never allowed before.
Yeah. Hey, and what do you guys think about this? I saw the Blues put out a tweet today that said they're getting some help from the Green Bay Packers. How about that?
Yeah.
Another reason not to like the Packers.
Yeah. And so I believe, did they explain the reason for that? Basically, the way I understand it is that the Green Bay Packer equipment guy has really helped out both teams and had conference calls and kind of how do you deal with warm, you know, cold weather climates and things like that.
And I think the Blues equipment staff has a relationship with them.
Nice. Any other questions? You want to come on up? You got a line or no? So, wanted to ask you about covering Ryan O'Reilly. I got to cover Cal O'Reilly. I got to, chat with his parents, who are just incredible people. As well, when Cal was here, did that really cool story on Cal and his whole family life. What is it like covering Ryan? Because, you know, he has just developed into just a tremendous player, never takes penalties, just out there for every situation, but scores too. You know, everybody sometimes used to think of him as this sort of, you know, two-way guy, but he's a guy that could pile up points every single night.
Yeah, he's a guy who had a tough reputation. I think he had the offer sheet situation in Colorado. Then he goes to Buffalo, and they don't win, and people think that it's Ryan O'Reilly's fault. They don't give him the C. They give it to Jack Eichel. What does Ryan O'Reilly do? He comes to St. Louis and wins the Stanley Cup. But watching him in practice every single day, Mike, you'd have appreciation for this. What he does is he's out there 30 minutes early. And he stays 30 minutes late. And when he stays 30 minutes late, he's got two first, second, third year players that stick with him. And they're emptying the buckets and going through all the drills and doing everything. So he's a guy that definitely everybody gravitates to, a great captain. And the Athletic, they said, hey, listen, find one guy. We're talking about this earlier, taking the Stanley Cup to your hometown. The Athletic said, pick one guy and follow him to his hometown. And I went to Ryan O'Reilly's hometown of Seaforth, Ontario, and what a blast. I mean, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so to go to this small town in Canada and just everything shut down for the day as Ryan went through the main street with his cup, and they had the fire truck and everything. Just awesome to see that all these people who meant something to him and his community be able to celebrate that. So Ryan's been great.
It's funny they say that he has got the two or three first-year guys next to him, or second- or third-year guys, because, you know, everything you were saying there reminded me of Kaprizov, and Kaprizov's been in the league for 2 years. Like, Kaprizov is out there early, he's late, but you could tell how many players want to play with him. They don't leave the ice. They want to play with him when practice is over and see what he's doing and all that stuff. That guy is a true rink rat. And it's probably going to be why he's going to be in a tremendous hockey
player. At least it didn't take him a while to get over here, right?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You guys,
he basically is a veteran at this point, right?
I mean, you were getting paid by the Kaprizov story there for
a
while.
It definitely ran my life at the Athletic for a while. Now there's always something next. What do you think of the, obviously COVID has taken over our world. It's turned all of our lives upside down. We're all getting COVID fatigue. It's definitely played havoc, wreaked havoc on the NHL this year. I mean, this is just no Olympics, World Juniors canceled, hopefully just postponed, and they figure out a way to play it at a later date. But, from a Minnesota Wild perspective, it is killing their schedule right now. And they are like the only team in the league that hasn't had a COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
They've had 4 games postponed due to other teams' outbreaks. And now they've had 3 games postponed due to 4 games postponed due to attendance problems in those cities. And now they're going to, the Wild already, I think, have the most games in the league in March. They're going to jam in these games in February. And for a team that was rolling along, it's just killed them. So it's become a hot button topic here. How big of a issue is this for the league, and how worried you are that we are going to be like covering this season like in September?
Yeah, I hope not. This is the Wild's first game in how long?
12 days.
12
They've
days.
Played 2 in like 19. They haven't won since December 9th. They've only played 4 times since.
I think the Blues have played 1 game in 10 or 11 days. So yeah, it's been pretty similar. You know, you guys know the story. It's just been difficult. You know, the weirdest thing, Mike, is for years and years and years, you cover the league, you look on the schedule, there's a game, you know it's going to be played. Now I wake up, and you have no idea if the game's going to be played.
Yeah.
And with the Blues, they've gone through a situation where they had to dress a few skaters less on occasion. Finally, I think the league has wisened up They have the taxi squad. You're able to call up a guy who makes less than $1 million to fill in. To me, that would have made more sense a couple months ago. You had Blues players, I'm sure maybe other teams have gone through it too, where the guys are playing hurt. Robert Thomas is out there playing hurt just because they're shorthanded. It's no good for the players. And so, you know, I know it's difficult to deal with. The entire league's dealing with it. But I think it was the right call not to go to the Olympics because a lot of trouble over there. Plus, they're going to need that time to make up these games.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Question.
So two questions. Why did the Blues get a warm-up game before the Winter Classic a couple days ago? And then for Jeremy specifically, outside of Vegas and Seattle, what are your favorite venues to visit?
Yeah, so with the Blues, that game was on their schedule, and they saw no reason to cancel it. Edmonton was able to cross the border and come over. You know, there was the border kind of shut down prior to Christmas, so that was kind of a question to me. You know, how was Edmonton able to do it? But I guess, you know, everything was fine, so they came and played. So I think there is a little bit of advantage there for the Blues to have played a game just a couple days ago. They look pretty good as well. And then in terms of cities, anybody out here travel the league, get to different places? It's something else. You know, it's part of the great part of the job. A place that I love to watch a game, Mike, what about you? Calgary?
Yeah, I love Calgary.
I love Calgary. Yeah. One of the reasons, and don't tell any people associated with the Blues organization this, but it is cold, obviously, in the rink. But Calgary has the Flames up in the ceiling.
Yep.
And whenever the Flames score, it just heats up. They burst, and it warms you up. It's great. So secretly, every time the Blues played there, I was like, come on, Aginla, just put one in. You know, I need to warm up a little bit. So don't tell the Blues that.
Well, that must have been the Wild strategy against Aginla for years because, holy crap, was he a destroyer of the Minnesota Wild.
But then my other favorite place is Nashville. I know people probably go there for different reasons than hockey. But as I get older, what I love, Mike, is convenience. And you can take a tennis ball and hit the rink, the bar, and the hotel with that tennis ball. That's what I like. All right next to each other.
Yep. I was just looking up. Edmonton, I'm like, they suddenly stink.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Are they ever going to get defense? Stop pucks? Anything?
No, I don't think so. And they probably need to send McDavid and Draisaitl down to the A or something.
Maybe to the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
Trade him for a couple picks or something. I'm just looking up there. Like last night, we were watching NHL Network, and I just wanted to see what their schedule is like. But it is just crazy. But in terms of the warm-up game, I mean, the Wild had a game scheduled against Winnipeg, and that was just postponed. That one surprised me because they still had fans, so they were going to be able to pack the joint. And the Wild were going to take a test that morning, and that test was going to get them back the same day. So it just to just add another postponed game, it just seems just ridiculous. And the Oilers have lost now, what, 7 of the last 9? Absolutely brutal.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Any other questions here? We got a packed house. Gotta be people. Here we go. You're dressed for the elements.
Oh, yeah. So I got a comment and then a question for each of you. And these are all coming from the soda pod. First.
There's no promoting other podcasts on this pod.
One of the greatest beer names ever that I'm drinking
Brandon,
right now.
Brandon, we gotta cut
that. Yarmer Lager. A Czech. Oh, my God. That. Incredible, Fulton. Thank you. So, Russo, for you, over under, if you're setting the line in Vegas on how many coffees you're crushing today.
A lot, because the machine is right behind where Jeremy and I sit.
I don't think Vegas will take that.
Yeah. I'd say over, under, let's see. I'm at 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 now. What time is it? That seems excessive.
Jesus.
And
what's going to come first, your Hall of Fame ceremony or your funeral?
Yeah, right. Neither, by the way. I'll go over, under. I'm at 6. I'll go 11. 11.
Give me 10 and a half or 11 and a half?
10 and a half.
All right, 10 and a half. I'm smashing the over.
Point, I'm going to tell Jeremy. I am known to tell friends of mine to be like, don't let me have another.
All right.
So, I sit next to him at the game, and there's like 7 or 8 cups, so I can count.
It really is. Yesterday it was ridiculous. It wasn't coffee. I had like 7 bottles of water. I was telling this story. So Steve Ludzik, who's an assistant coach with the Florida Panthers when I covered them, we'd be working in the press room before the game, and Steve would come in that 2.5-hour span before the game. He'd come in like 7 different times to get a coffee. And I finally asked one of the equipment guys one day, I'm like, does Steve drink like 7 coffees before the game? He goes, no. He'll like get a coffee, put it down, forget where he put it, and just go get another one. I'm like, well, how many times are people actually playing a practical joke on him and throwing away his coffee? And he goes, well, that's probably more likely what's going on, is that he's not losing where he put the coffees in their small little space. It was just, you know, all that type of stuff.
So, all right. Yeah. And now for Jeremy, would you put the over-under at 0.5 or 1.5 for fights that Bennington tries to start tonight?
Oh, my goodness.
What a little baby that Jordan Bennington is.
What's everybody think about Bennington? What do Wild fans think, huh? Yeah.
Wild fans watch Bennington try to fight Dubnyk like 10 different times. So.
No, it's been something. I think a couple weeks ago, I called my editor before the Blues played, and I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to write tonight. I've written a couple stories lately. There's really nothing to write. So unless something happens during the game, I'm not going to write. And then, of course, Jordan Bennington has to go WWF again, and I get to write after the game. So I don't know. I don't get it. I talked to his agent, Mike Liute, a couple days ago, and he said he just feels like he has to, you know, have a pulse for the team and what's going on. If they need something, he's going to add to it. But, yeah, that episode with Dubnyk was something else.
Yeah, so. I was years and years and years ago, I was sharing a cab to the Marine Midland Arena or whatever it was called. I think that's what it was called then, in Buffalo. And so it's probably 4 or 5 games left in the regular season. And I'm share a cab with Sean Burke. And we're driving in the morning skate, and he starts telling me, he's like, yeah, he goes, my hip's just killing me. This is going to be my last game of the season. And so I'm like, all right, scoop, here we go. And he goes, I think I'm going to go out fighting tonight. I'm going to get in a fight. And I like laugh. And I'm like, he's like, no, seriously, I lead the league in fights since I've been in the league or something. I'm like, oh, really? And that was back. You can't just Google it. So I just took his word for it. Anyway, forget about it. First period happens. Vaslav Virata comes skating through, like within, not even through the crease, within like 5 feet of the crease. Just doing a flyby, but nothing like sinister like Vaslav Virata was used to do. Vaslav was a dirty, dirty, dirty player, I think. But anyway, all of a sudden, Burke skates out of him and just loses his mind. And he gets himself ejected from the game. And sure enough, he goes out fighting and doesn't play the rest of the season. And then Kirk McLean came in and won like 3 in a row. So
what was that over under? It was 1.5 on punches or fights? Or?
No, fights for how many fights he's going to start tonight.
Okay, I'm going to take the over. Going over. Let's have a fight at the Winter Classic.
That would be something.
Hey, real quick.
Hey, Cam Talbot was in the Battle of Alberta fight with Mike Smith a couple years ago, so he could take care of himself.
Real quick, over-under story. I'll be quick. I wrote a story about the hot dogs in Montreal. Of course, when you weigh close to 300 pounds, you got to write about hot dogs, right? So they have them in the press box, and they're phenomenal. They grill the bun. The hot dog's great.
So overrated.
Oh, no, it's not. So I wrote a story about it. And I talked to a bunch of teams and players and coaches and equipment managers, and I think it was the Anaheim equipment manager. He said that they played a prank on one guy on the staff, and they said, we're going to act like we're eating all these hot dogs and having a contest tonight, and we're going to mark them on the dry erase board, but he doesn't know that we're not really eating this many. Let's just go up there. So they'd go up and do, you know, fake hot dog number 1, 2, 3. They'd say, hey, buddy, you better catch up. So this equipment guy for Anaheim Ducks, he legit eats 9 or 10 of these hot dogs thinking he's going to win this contest, and then barfs on the plane ride out of Montreal.
Ugh, that is gross. Yeah. There you go. Blues question, I assume.
Question for both of you. So I was listening to your friends on 101 yesterday, and they were debating whether or not tonight, even though it's going to be negative 20, is it a statement game? It's a first and second place team. What can you take away from it, from a win or a loss, if anything? And then second question, when you're done with that, is trade deadline's a while away, but what do both teams need?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Center. It's been my answer for 17 years, center. And this is the year to do it. This is the year to do it. You got a window. This team's good enough. First of all, they're without Erickson Ek right now. I don't think you have to do it imminently. But, this is the year to do it because the cap gets squeezed here the next little bit. You're going to have to use a lot of guys on entry-level deals. And I think this is the year to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know who to go get, but it's easier said than me, but that's why I don't make Bill Guerin's salary.
Blues have a lot of centers. Who do you want?
Close to Bill Guerin's salary.
What about the statement game?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is this a statement game?
I don't know. I mean, statement game. It's the first game of, to me, the statement games are going to be down the stretch when they play each other all the time. I mean, the Wild haven't still gone to St. Louis, and it must not be anytime soon because I haven't even thought about booking a trip to St. Louis yet. Unlike Jeremy, Jeremy needs a Winter Classic to come to Minnesota. I actually go to those regular season games
in St.
Louis.
Mike, do you blame me? It's minus 9 degrees.
Yep. And by the way, I did just confirm that Jonas Brodin is out.
He's out.
Yep.
Let me, as far as a statement game.
I don't know why I didn't send that text a minute, 30 minutes ago. I decided, I should probably just confirm this. Yep.
But to answer your question, I don't think it can be really. I mean, it's minus 50. The Wild are without a lot of key players, right? The Wild haven't played in a long time. The Blues have just played the one game. And to me, you can call this a real game, but I think Colton Parayko said it yesterday. Every stoppage in play, you're looking up and looking around. It's just not normal. So even if one team won tonight 6-0, I don't think it's the type of game where you can say, yeah, that's who they are and that's who they are. So I think that'll be determined down the stretch. And then in terms of trade deadline, I still think the Blues are going to need to add defense. I realize that the defense is playing well right now and has at times, but to me they still need kind of a guy who can jump in that top four and help out, so we'll see. Yeah. You got any defense to help out with? You want to send Brodin to St. Louis?
Remember earlier in this season when I was convinced the Wild are going to get Bertuzzo?
Yeah.
Remember that? It was last summer. That obviously didn't happen. The Wild wound up signing Merrill and Jordy Benn.
Too bad they didn't sign Prosser. You could have done another story.
You know what? A little scoop. There might be a Prosser story coming up here in the next little bit, actually. What else do you want to talk about, Jeremy? What else do you want to do? Anybody here, ask a question while I send out this tweet. Somebody come on up. Whoever comes on up gets a beer on me.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. There we go. You did come to the podcast a couple days ago, right? Did you come to the podcast a couple? Talk in the mic. Okay. Somebody that looked identical
to
you.
He looks thirsty.
Yep.
So go for it. Here. So the Athletic gives you a blank check. What beat or sport do you cover rather than the one you're currently covering?
Wow.
Well, I will answer this right now. None. I would, Jeremy and I could attest to the fact. So Jeremy and I really worked on a really cool story last night. Jeremy, talk for a second so I can send out this freaking tweet.
Oh, he's talking about the story. If you guys get a chance, it was kind of cool. The players, they went out on the ice last night for their family skate. And we set it up, Mike and I did, with each of our teams. Hey, as soon as you take a picture, you and your family, text us. So we got a string of photos, if you guys haven't seen it yet, of Wild and Blues players out there with their family. So that's the story that he's referencing. Yeah. A lot of fun to put together. But Mike, answer his question.
That's why, is that we were able to work on that story so seamlessly yesterday. What sport, what professional team can you text 20 players a day or two before and say, and wives, and say, hey, can you send me a flood of photos of family? And he was sitting next to me, so he saw my phone literally lock up. So just to give you an example, I send out rapid fire the night before to 20 guys, can you send me photos of your family day, videos of your family day? Jeremy and I want to do this really cool photo diary, but make it yours. So essentially you're writing our story for us.
And I saw the text. A lot of them said, F off, you wrote a bad story about me last season.
Victor Rass didn't take part. Rasscast just left, just walked out of the bar right now. But So you send that, and
Kyle
then
Quincy
I,
just
and
left
I
too.
Didn't send any like friendly reminder. You know, you said you'd do this, and the second they were off the ice for the family skate, my phone erupted with countless videos and pictures and things like that. You can't do that covering Kirk Cousins and Harrison Smith. You can't do that covering Cat. You can't do that covering, you know, guys on the Twins. I can't think of one. There you go. Name a twin. Buxton. You probably could do it with Buxton. He seems like a nice guy. Actually, Cat, I will tell you this. I know a lot of stuff about Cat. Cat is a incredible human being. But my point is that those, like, there's still something about at the NHL that is so different. We, you know, Jeremy and I hung out with Mike Rupp last night, and you know, and I don't. That's really the first time you probably ever really met him, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and we were talking about it during the thing. Like, this is a different sport. You know, like you could sit there and text anybody in the NHL, and they're probably getting back to you. And so that's why I would never ever cover another sport. I actually said to our editor last night, Sarah Goldstein, I said, this is why I cover the NHL. You know, this story at first sounded to me like it was going to be really, really difficult to piece together. And thank goodness Sarah Goldstein is the one that took control of doing it, because she's an incredible editor. But the fact that it turned out to be the easiest story I've probably written in years, yeah, because all I had to do is write a couple words and then just fill it in with a bunch of their pictures. I mean, one of the, like, and there's another thing. Two of the players that are big players on the team texted me first thing this morning, like, great job with the story. When do you get that? You know, like I wrote a feature on a player over Thanksgiving that sent me like the nicest voice memo about the story, like a minute and a half voice memo. You don't do that. You don't get that in covering the NHL, in any other sport other than the NHL.
I think he just grew a playoff beard during your answer.
I know. Well, that's the, usually people grow playoff beards reading my articles.
But I will say this. So last night when we're leaving...
4,000 words again?
We're leaving the baseball stadium and heading over to the place with Mike Rupp. Mike gets a text, and what's Bukestad's wife's name?
Jackie.
So he gets a text, and she sent him a couple more pictures for this story. And so I'm in the passenger seat just minding my own business, and he's hitting his dashboard. Text, Jess, Jackie, Bukestad, beautiful picture. Thank you, Mike.
And then that's the funny thing. Then like a minute later, they must have all been together. Then a minute later, Janine Bukestad texted me with the picture, and Janine's the mom. So I send it. Oh. I send it to Sarah Goldstein, who's putting it all together. And she goes, and I said, hey, another picture from the Bukesteds. And then she goes to me, that's a different woman. And then I look and I realize it wasn't it, that the first was from Jackie, or the first was from Nick from Jackie. Oh. The second was the mom. So,
yeah.
So it was just, yeah, it is always funny the
but
way that works.
Just to give you my quick answer is, you know, I would probably stay in the NHL. Like you said, it's just such a great community. Yeah. People are really good to you. But put me in the sun somewhere.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there was a kid years ago, I won't say his name, young sports writer, that I'm actually getting heated thinking about this fucking story. So this young sports writer, he's like, hey, really respect you. Can you kind of, you know, can we go have lunch? And it was actually here in Minnesota. Can we go have lunch and, you know, give me some tips on how to do it? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like for a sports writer that started at 15 years old at a major daily, I am always willing to give back to young kids that want to do this job. So I meet with this kid. And the first thing that he said to me pretty much ended our little coffee.
Uh-oh.
He goes, you know, I really, you know, I love the NHL, but I really want to cover something big. And this was a professional sports writer at this point. Like, I want to get to cover a big sport. And I'm like, all right. And then right away, I just let him know that was the wrong thing to say to me. You know, for somebody that's been doing the NHL for years that have had ample opportunities to go cover other sports, you know, I don't look at the NHL as being this little low man on the totem pole. Like, I get it. I know where they are in the landscape. You know, Vikings are king. Twins still are the thing in the summertime. But it's still, like, you know, this is a pretty cool freaking sport. And if you want to be a sports writer, you know, first of all, you say yes to everything the second you get in. They tell you to cover a cross-country meet, you do it. They tell you to cover Tiddlywinks, you do it. You volunteer for everything. But the job, like, especially young kids today, I think they want to get from here to here immediately. They want to be CEO of the company immediately. And so I always get really passionate about people that say, you know, I want to be the NFL guy. And you know who's a good example is like Dan Mizutani. Dan is a jack. He's the Pioneer Press writer. He's a jack of all trades. He does everything for the Pioneer Press. He basically is their backup Vikings writer. So he is the, you know, covering the big team in town. But he's the full-time Wild writer, and he doesn't think any less of that part of his job. And it's why he's going to be huge in this business for a long, long time. And he's getting good at covering everything. He's absolutely versatile. Where you take a dinosaur like me right now and say, go cover the Twins. 20 years ago, I would have been able to do that in a second. Now, I can't do it.
Yeah, but
I mean, you
like,
hear me do radio. Yeah. I don't talk about the Vikings. I purposely cheat and only talk hockey.
But just think, if you were the Vikings writer, you could go out and write a big story about Kirk Cousins leading the Vikings to a big win this week. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a great lead for my article today, but I won't read it. So
you have to.
All right. So we were joking about. So all right, this is going to be funny.
Get him his beer.
All right. This is I just want people that are listening to this podcast at home to be assured that I have not had any alcohol today. So I know that I'm starting to spout off and get things, but I'm just going to say that I'm over-caffeinated but not drunk. So we have this thing at The Athletic, again, probably inside baseball that we're not supposed to say, but there's something called trending stories in our Slack channel that basically says that if a story is doing well, it's getting read and blah, 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 that it's trending.
There is? I've never been on it.
Are you not on that? No, oh, I got it. Yeah. Thanks to you, I'm on there a lot. So, and then there's like the trending major stories channel, which is like a big, like, wow, feather in your cap. So Chad Graff, I noticed this morning, the second I woke up at like 5 a.m., I look at the trending channel and it's lit up. And I'm like, wow, that's really early for something to be trending. And I look and it's Chad Graff's Kirk Cousins story. And so I send out a group text to a bunch of us that are friends with Chad Graff. I'm like, I knew this mother effer when he was like flying to the wrong airports. I tell him, like, we'd walk out of a bar and I'd be like, all right, you know, your hotel is a block that way. And then the next day he'd be like, oh my God, I got so lost last night walking back. You know, like, so that's Chad Graff. And I'm like, and this guy is now the number one of the 2022, the Athletic, like leading the league, or like right now the clubhouse leader in trending stories at the Athletic. So that was the joke. Everybody back started saying that, all right, I shouldn't read this, but I'm gonna. That I should write about Kirk Cousins in my story today to make it trend. Okay, so let me read the headline of my gamer tonight. Actually, I think I sent it to one of you guys. Did I send it to you? No. All right, let me find this. Here, as we say in the radio podcast world, breathe for a second. So somebody says that my headline tonight should be Wild Win Winter Classic despite unvaccinated Kirk Cousins jeopardizing entire Minnesota community. Like, if that is the headline tonight, how many subs do you think that I'm selling today?
That'll be trending.
That would be, I mean, 500 subs like that, right? But, and then maybe you just throw in a Kirk Cousins line somewhere in there to make it go with the headline, just to sell.
Yeah.
But how fun, I mean, that really is kind of clever.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
So,
a tough situation.
Yep.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Any other questions here? We're at 50 minutes. Or actually, we're probably about 45. We started fashionably late, almost like Anthony LaPanta is my co-host. Here we go.
How you doing?
What's going on? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a couple of years. How you been?
Yeah. Good. Elon, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So just wondering, if the Wild do make a trade for a center, someone like Tomas Hertl by chance, what would they have to give up to get him?
Well, I mean, the first thing is he's a rental, so minimum a first-round pick. And probably a prospect, honestly. Like, there's so few top centers right now that are pending free agents, potentially. Giroux, maybe. Hertl, maybe. That's pretty much it. You're going to... Like Doug Wilson or Doug Wilson Jr., hopefully Doug Wilson. But Doug Wilson Jr., who's now running the Sharks right now, I mean, they're going to get a lot. And I think it's going to be more than probably, it might break the bank on Reynolds, honestly. Well, actually, Martin Hansel kind of broke the bank.
Yeah, no, it broke the bank a while. But Eric Stahl, he available?
He is available. So I made the query the other day because to me it's like, all right, you have these taxi squads, right? You're not putting Marco Rossi or Matt Boldy or one of those guys on it. You know, really, you don't even want like Connor Jure on it. You want that guy playing. So like, you know, pretty much a taxi squad guy is going to be like a guy like Kyle Rau, Dakota Mermis, a Kevin Churchman, somebody like that. But I made the query, like, would you go out and sign? I said, you know, to the person that I sent this to, this might be the dumbest question you've ever gotten in your life, but they're skating locally. Would you go and get Dubnyk and Stahl? And the person that wrote me back is like, it's not a dumb question, but we're not going that way right now. But I actually think that if I were, I don't know if Eric Stahl wants to make a minor league salary and get his $500 stipend a day, which, by the way, isn't a bad little gift bonus. But if I was Eric Stahl, why wouldn't you do that? He showed in Montreal, and maybe he has no opportunities, but he showed in Montreal a couple years ago that he's not beyond playing the fourth line, and you haven't played all year, so you don't want your career to be over, so you might as well like take something like that up. I don't know. I think it's something to consider, but I don't think the Wild are going to be that team.
So did you text Dubnyk and Stahl back and tell him what the Wild told you?
No, I didn't do that. I did not do that. I would love to cover those guys again, though. And especially in that capacity, like how cool would it be to just sit in the press box and just listen to Eric Stahl talk hockey?
Yeah.
Or Dubnyk, who is the biggest talker in the world, just sit there and, you know, and then he can run quotes for me after the game.
Yeah. No, exactly. Billy's doing a good job. And, you know I keep throwing it out to the fans here, but what do you guys think about Billy Guerin? He had a cup of coffee with the Blues and I really liked him.
Yeah.
Seems like he's done a real good job here, right?
He had a hat trick with the Blues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy Guerin has the most hat tricks in NHL history for the most different teams. It's like six, I think.
Yeah.
Look that up. Actually, I'll look that up while you get a question.
The Blues traded Billy Guerin to San Jose and got a first-round pick and took David Perron with it. So we got something
and
back.
And I think that's the story. Didn't, like, that year, Billy had a hat trick for San Jose against St. Louis and a hat trick for St. Louis against San Jose,
yeah.
If I remember. But Bill Guerin hat trick.
At the Athletic, I don't know if you guys saw this. It was a year or two ago. We drafted a GM, a city, a player, and brought it all together. And my GM I took was Billy Guerin. Mike passed up on him, huh?
No, I think I got out of that project.
Oh, did you get out of
it? Yeah, that was... Yeah. Or did I? I can't remember.
Yeah.
A lot of these set pieces... Now I'm like, honestly, if any of our hires up at the Athletic listen to this, I might lose my job tomorrow. But a lot of those set pieces, I kind of like, you know, I'm really busy right now.
So what's Billy's thing?
Billy had 10 career hat tricks. Kind of, this podcast is either working really well or absolutely sucks. Because I've gone on like 15 different tangents and had to like stall. Luckily, Brandon's the one that doesn't have to edit this down. All right, so he had a hat trick for New Jersey, Edmonton, Boston, Dallas, St. Louis, San Jose, Islanders. So he had 10 hat tricks for 7 different teams. That's an NHL record. Question.
So all this talk about centers, my buddy is a huge Rask fan. I was just wondering, when is the next Rask contract going to be announced?
Here, let me see your phone. I'll tweet it.
Yeah.
According to sources.
Next. That's like everybody just figured out the way to shut me up.
You should have asked that a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. I went from long-winded to not very.
So, JR, good to see you.
You too, buddy.
Disappointed.
Hey, just to interrupt, just to be totally, like, Victor Rask is a really good guy. It's almost become like my James Neal thing. Like,
I didn't see that in your story. Like, though, it didn't say Victor Rask, who's a great guy, was a -6 last night.
And Victor Rask is also very liked by a lot of his buddies on that team. So
yeah, just to add on there, Russo, I was looking at Jay Fresh's advanced analytics on Victor Rask. They're looking pretty good this year. So,
yeah, I know.
That's not my question, though.
Another reason why analytics are stupid. All right, sorry.
Right, no, all the smart people say that. Anyway, I've won a lot of Stanley Cups on NHL, the video game franchise mode. And so I always trade off all the older Blues players and like try to make the Cup run in like 2025. Where do you see the Blues roster going after this? Mainly for J.R. Russo, if you want to chime in, you're welcome to as well, though.
J.R.?
Well, the Scott Stevens, look at that. Holy smokes.
Nice.
That's great.
Actually, let's take a picture of that and send that to him. Turn around. There we go.
Did he just name drop again?
Yeah,
he
exactly.
sent a text to Scott Stevens. Jeez. Oh.
Somebody listening to this podcast is going to know. So I run into this kid in Phoenix, and he's wearing a Heatley jersey. I'm like, and I stop him. I'm like, turn around. And I send to Heatley right away, and the kid was so excited when Heatley wrote back.
Yeah.
I should read you the text that Heatley wrote about it. It was like you would think from the text back that Heatley runs that account, the Danny Heatley All-Star account.
Yeah. No, yeah. With the Blues roster.
We were just invited, by the way, to another Winter Classic channel.
Cool.
Like, it's going to be an interesting day.
You know, I think the Blues roster, yeah, it's going to, you know, look different next year, year after, a little bit different than we anticipate. But this is what a lot of GMs do when they win the Stanley Cup. They want to keep the band together, and so therefore they give these guys these 6, 7, 8 year contracts to keep that AAV down. And it can either be a good thing or it can be a horrible thing, because, I mean, you're going to have the Braden Schenns, Justin Faulks, Torrey Krugs, Jordan Binningtons in their, you know, mid-30s. And so, you know, I think if you can win, obviously, and contend like the Blues are doing right now, it looks pretty good. But the one joke that we have in St. Louis, and I don't know where you're from here or there, but, you know, Doug Armstrong signed all these deals, and he didn't know if he was going to be around 5, 6, 7 years. Well, now he's signed the 5-year extension, so this is the bed that he made, and he's going to have to live with it. It looks pretty good right now. Will it look different in 4 or 5 years? We'll see.
Any other questions? We're going to probably wrap up the podcast soon. Brandon gets paid by the minute.
Russo's got to text Gretzky here in a little bit.
Hey, what do you think of the new look, the vest? Can't pull it off, right? There's a lot of people that can pull off the vest look. So the truth of this is that this is actually a really funny story. You could come up to the mic. So I decide, even though I live 25 minutes from downtown, I got to stay at the Marriott for the Winter Classic. So I pack up all my stuff. I come down to the Marriott. This is all because I don't want to go back and forth to my home during the Winter Classic. And I check into Marriott. I realize right away I forgot a sports coat for today. So I'm like, God darn it. And then I realize I forgot hair gel, brush, toothpaste. Like, it was. So yesterday I went to CVS and I just spent an absolute fortune there. And then I'm like, so then I go walk to like the men's warehouse on Nicolette's, no longer there. I drive by our radio station to Joseph Baby, it's no longer there. So then I'm walking yesterday and I pass like a Nordstrom rack and I walk in there and I'm like, instead of buying a sports coat, I'm going to just wear this today. So.
Anybody got a teenage daughter? Anybody? I got a teenage daughter. So I bought this and I've worn it a couple times. And when I left St. Louis a couple days ago, I was wearing it. And I said to my 12 or 13 year old daughter, I said, so how do I look? She goes, so dad, like, nice life preserver.
Well, first of all, do you know your daughter's age?
No.
Daughter's 12 or 13.
I didn't say her name because I don't know her name either.
Yeah, I know. Let's hope your wife's not listening to this podcast, and your daughter, by the way.
It's your podcast. She doesn't.
I got a vest today. It's heated with a battery pack.
Oh, man.
What's the name of the brand?
You could give Jeremy the remote control.
Yeah, I know. Hey, by the way, when I leave here, everybody remind me to plug in my socks again. What is your, what's the name of that brand, by the way?
Oh, I can't even remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Venom is an athletic subscriber or a sponsor.
Question on the introductions today. They have that ice path, which looks awesome, super, for a Winter Classic, super, that should be awesome. So anyways, question for you.
It is amazing. Like, we saw all the rehearsals yesterday, yeah. And it looks spectacular. So first Winter Classic ever that guys are going to be skating out to the ice on the home team. Blues, we don't care about them. but only the home team are going to do that, so that'll be really, really sweet. And then the dignitaries that are doing stuff before the game are going to be really cool too. And I don't want to. Even though this podcast will be out after. Oh no, we're hoping to turn this pretty quickly. So I don't want to give away any secrets. But so, there's going to be some cool Minnesota sports icons that are going to be at the game today.
So the locker rooms are behind home plate, right? So are they going to make the guys walk all the way to center field, or are they going to cart them out there, or what?
They'll walk around. I assume they're walking behind the fence that are there. And then I did this story that they realized there were like little parts that were exposed to the fans both on TV and home, and they don't want to see the players go into the cabin. So then they went and secured a bunch of trees and things like that. Any other questions before we wrap up the podcast? Thanks to Fulton for having us out. Any others? Nobody? Jordan? There we go.
Oh, he comes.
Jack surely has a question. What's up?
Okay, I got a couple questions.
Yeah.
Do we know, first of all, what the extent of Eck and Spurgeon's injuries are? And
I mean, I'll just.
They're really going to be out?
Yeah, I mean, Bill just said a couple weeks. Obviously, that's not, that's more, that doesn't sound like a firm timeline, so I'm just going to trust him on that. I will say that the Eck injury, the fact that it doesn't require surgery is probably a good thing that, you know.
It looks like it could have, though. That was pretty dirty.
It really did. Yeah.
The next thing I have is Jesper Wallstedt.
Yeah.
Is there regulations with Sweden that he can, when he can come over, when he can't come over, like they do with all our Russian guys?
Yeah, there is actually a deadline. Like there was a deadline even to sign him that the Wild missed, which isn't a big deal at all, but the Wild did miss it because they probably would have already signed him. Okay. But their goal is to get him here for next year. And, you know, not necessarily on the Wild. I'm saying over here to North America. Right now, they just got to get him back to Sweden. Somebody's got to get him back to Sweden. Poor Jesper Wallstedt is currently quarantining in a hotel in Red Deer, Alberta. And let me just tell you, I love Red Deer.
And then would Capo Caco
Red Deer's
be anything
not the place
worth...
you want to freaking quarantine. I'm just telling you.
would Capo Caco be worth anything on the market for a trade?
I mean, maybe, but I don't know if you want to. I mean, to me, you're not going to bank everything on like trading Kakinen because Wallstedt's either signed or whatever, you know.
Play him against the Blues. He does well against the Blues.
Yep. Nice hat.
Thank you. Since you asked.
Yeah.
Rapid fire. What's your guys' score predictions for tonight's game?
Good question. As you go first.
Score prediction?
Score prediction?
Yeah.
I'll go 4-2.
Who?
All right. We're going to do a little fun thing. I'm going to go 4-2 Wild, but then if it's the Blues, I'm saying 4-2 Blues, and Jeff Domet's got to edit in the right one.
Yeah. Well, we did this prediction a couple days ago at the Athletic, and I said Blues, but I want to get out of here safely, so I'm going to say
I will say
Wild.
This. So I said Blues in our Athletic prediction because I was assuming Brodin. That was before the protocol change, too. I was assuming Brodin, Eriksson Ek, and Spurgeon weren't playing, and I just think that's for a healthy lineup, as Jeremy just said, against a team that's had the Wild's number for the last couple of years. I just think it's going to be awfully hard for the Wild to win today. And now we find out that Brodin is definitely not playing, according to sources. And so, you know, I just think it's going to be a tough game. But all bets are off in a thing like this. Like, there is going to be you know that guys like Kaprizov, Zuccarello, Fiala are going to want to show off today. The Wild, when they had the home game here against the Chicago Blackhawks, beat the living crap out of them. They came out like they were shot out of a cannon. If you can't get up for a game like this when you're skating out there under the lights tonight in prime time, nationally televised, I think that changes the, you know, the, as we'd like to say in the newspaper business, like the whole, remember when we used to do our newspaper predictions and you do it like offense, defense, and then the one was intangibles and none of, and I always used intangibles in the Star Tribune as, or the Sun Sentinel as like, well, I couldn't fit this somewhere else, so I'm going to put it under intangible, but that would be the intangible tonight. Yeah.
Well, my head says that with a full Blues healthy lineup, I feel like the Blues can win, but I've enjoyed your guys' company and I really thank you guys for having me out here today. So I'm going to go with a 7-6 Wild victory.
Oh, that'd be nice.
How about that?
That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
That'd be something. A night
what
for the goalies.
What would your score prediction be if Kakinen was starting?
13-1 St. Louis. And that's not because I don't like him, but have you guys seen the stats against the
Blues?
Oh,
my God. Even in the preseason.
Oh, my goodness. Like,
holy crap. It's crazy.
But seriously, thank you guys. Really, really, really appreciate it.
Just real quick, I was in the Marriott elevator right now, and I'm assuming Kakinen's family was in there with me because they were all wearing Kakinen jerseys. No offense, Capo, but I'm just assuming that if you have a Kakinen jersey, you're probably his family member. And I wanted to introduce myself, but I'm just like, these guys might not like me. So there's just that slight chance that they do not love me based on some of my game stories from his starts against St. Louis.
If you did that with everybody like that, you'd be walking 12 different directions.
I know, that is absolutely true. Hey, thanks for Fulton for having us out here. Thanks for, I mean, so many people coming out here. I might tweet a video of this. You know, in today's world, that tweeting a video, though, in this day and age with a bunch of people not wearing masks might get some hate. So just know that you're probably going to be part of my world every single day if you look at the replies of that.
And if you're supposed to be working today, duck.
Yeah, exactly. Like Oh, I just realized something. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to leave a rating and review. Always a good review, though. We don't accept bad ones. And right now, get an annual subscription to The Athletic at just $3.99 when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Straight from the Source returns next week with a recap of the Winter Classic with some great guests, including Minnesota's own Jamie Hirsch, Mike Rupp, Darren Pang, Keith Jones, Kenny Albert, hopefully John Hamm. You're going to work that out for me?
Yeah.
I want to meet John Hamm because of his role in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Nothing else. John Hamm in Curb Your Enthusiasm, brilliant. Happy New Year, everybody.